Praise the Lord this morning. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord this morning. God is so good. Before we get into the scriptures this morning, I have to give honor to God because it's a great privilege to be able to minister in the same church where you were saved. Not many people could say that. This morning, I feel like I'm God's trophy to the world. God's trophy to all you guys to let you know that evangelism and prayer works. My grandmother's right there. She prayed for me in this church with you guys. And now I'm here teaching the word of God to the people that prayed for me, the people that travailed for me. It's a great privilege to be here. And I thank God for my pastor and the ministers, Brother Powell over here. We were standing right here in that section right here. Here's where the heavens opened up in the ladder. I saw the ladder, the angels ascending and descending. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit right here, that spot, in Jesus' name. So, I mean, it's amazing. We're going to be reading from launching from the book of John, chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. I'm reading from the King James Version. I'm going to read this. We're going to pray and then go into our Bible study. Amen? I'm not sure. Okay, good. Perfect. I have plenty of scriptures, so it's perfect. Okay. It says, Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that your word is alive. It's sharp, Lord God, that your word changes us from the inside, Lord, and that we could be born again by hearing your word and obeying the plan of salvation. Lord God, we thank you that this morning that we will have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Encourage us this morning, Lord. Strengthen us this morning in the inner man so we may be faithful to you and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This scripture, I believe, sometimes is, we don't really see the true treasure of this scripture because we get caught up with the part where he says, you're gods. And you might say to yourself, what is he talking about? But this morning, I don't want to emphasize that part. I want to emphasize a few things or bring out of the scripture a few things that Jesus was letting them know and letting us know today. That's very, very important. Let's start at verse 34. Same scripture, John 10, verse 34. Jesus answered them, the Jews. He says, is it not written? If we could please underline that word written in your Bible or in your mind. Written. In your law, I said you are gods. Verse 35. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came. Let's underline the word of God. And it says, and the scripture, let's underline scripture, cannot be broken. That's the good news. The scriptures cannot be broken. The scriptures cannot be annulled. It cannot be reversed. Basically, it's saying if God said it, it stands and we can believe it. So we have these three words here. We have first written, we have the word of God, and we have the scripture that we highlighted. If we take those three words now and read it backwards for the sake of studying the word of God, it will say something like this. The scripture, the word of God written. That's exactly what scriptures are or is. It's the word of God written. Jesus himself gave two titles in verse 35. He called it the word of God, meaning that it came directly from God, from him. And number two, He called it scripture, which means that which is written. This in my hand is the most powerful tool that any human being can have. This is the only book that as you're reading the book, it reads you. This book is powerful. This book has the answers to life. The Bible, scriptures, God's word, the creator of the world, his words written. Yes, we know that God speaks outside the Bible, of course. I'm not saying that everything God says is written. God might say to you, start a church in this city. We're not going to find that in the Bible. He will tell you who to marry. We won't find that in the Bible. But what I'm saying is the things that God wants us to know, the foundation of the kingdom of God, we will find written down here. And everything else comes from this. If you get a word in your spirit during prayer time, I recommend that you go to the word and find where God is saying something about that to make sure that you're in line with the written word of God. Amen. Scripture is the written word of God. Here are my thoughts as I was studying. God's word written for us to observe, meditate on, and appropriate in our lives. A few of many purposes. But we're in a time now where the word of God is not looked upon as being important and valuable. We're in a time now where gifts and charisma and you know how well you could speak is more important now, more influential than the word of God. If you go on YouTube right now, you will see millions of people with great gifts and power doing things but neglecting the word of God. Gifting and charisma never replaces the scriptures, the word of God. Gifting should always be in harmony with scriptures and should lead you to Jesus. That's the whole point of this. Being led to God, being led to the King of the kingdom. The charismatic prophets are saying that the word of God is full of old narratives or just stories that has no significance in today's society. You know that? So they replace scripture with prophesying, great demonstrations of the word of knowledge, calling names in the crowd, bank account numbers, addresses, you name it. And it's real. It's not fake. They're actually seeing these things and calling them out and demonstrating power. They promise great wealth and prosperity, but neglect the holy scriptures of God. But God is so faithful that God always warns us about these things to come. And we see it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. In verse 1, it says, in the last days, there'll be perilous times. So we're speaking about the last days, which is now, correct? Amen. So here we have now 2 Timothy 3:8. It says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, these two men were the sorcerers that were employed by Pharaoh. These were the men that threw down their snakes when Moses came to Pharaoh and their staffs, I should say, and their staffs turned into snakes. We know the story in Exodus, right? It says, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Yes, it's speaking about these people that are demonstrating great power without God. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Jannes and Jambres brought forth demonstrations of power. But there was a word from God. And what was that word? Let my people go. That was the word. That was the truth that God was bringing. But these people wanted to distract or distract or annul the word of God by demonstrating things that couldn't trump God at all. It would never work. The word of God stands sure. Watch this in 2 Peter. 2 Peter verse chapter 1, verse 17 through 21. I want to bring it even further to show you that the word of God stands and is sure. It says, "For he received from God," talking about Jesus, "God the Father, honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." This is the Mount Transfiguration. This is an amazing event. Jesus Christ tore off the flesh and they saw him in his glory and they were so amazed. It's an amazing experience, right? And this voice, verse 18, which came from heaven, we heard it, we were there. We had an experience when we were with him in the Holy Mount. But watch verse 19. In the same breath, he says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy," speaking of scriptures, "whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." 20, knowing this first. They had their experience. They saw the glory of God, but they said, hold on. Not only do we have an experience, we know this first. Before that experience, we know this. That no prophecy of what? The scripture is of any private interpretation. Peter was, he linked up what he saw with scripture. He said, although I saw this great demonstration of power, I know that he's a Messiah. He's God in the flesh. Not only because of what I've seen, but what I've read, what I've heard in scriptures. Scriptures and experience have to line up. We are spiritual beings. And there's so many voices out there and so many things going on. And God says, listen, if you know you're anointed, then you really have to get into the word of God and the scriptures. Look at Jesus. He is the anointed one. But didn't Satan tempt him and try to tempt him? Didn't the voice of the enemy speak to him, even though he is the anointed one? But what did he do? He used scripture. And we're going to see this more in this teaching. Scripture is very, very, very important. It's our lifeline. Hallelujah. In verse 21, it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." How did it happen? The Holy Ghost. It's the same word that Gabriel gave to Mary. She said, "How are these things going to be?" Gabriel said, "The Holy Ghost." Don't worry about it. God made it happen. God is in control of our lives, and God is on his throne. 60% of scriptures are narrative stories. 60%. The same stories that the religious world is saying is not important. God in his wisdom said 60% of my word is going to be narrative. Why? The scriptures not only illustrate doctrine, they teach doctrine. The illustration, when look at the book of Acts, how do we know? It's a storybook, but how do we know to baptize in Jesus' name? How do we know that when we receive the Holy Spirit, we speak in tongues? How do we know this? Because God illustrated. He wrote a storyline. He allowed Luke to emphasize certain events. So we have no question on his doctrine. No question of what he requires us to do. God is light. There's no darkness in him. God doesn't want us to be ignorant of anything. But he wants us to know his will. He wants us to know what he requires of us so that he will be a just God when we do it and a just God when we don't. Amen. Praise the Lord. Storytelling is one of the highest forms of teaching. If you want to teach your children a lesson, tell them a story. Let them know. Tell them about the family and you know, in story form. When I was young and my father asked me to take out the garbage, A, B, C, D happened, and now I know better. And they'll say, okay, I understand. I'm taking the garbage out. I want to, you know, I'm going to learn from your mistakes. You know, storytelling is the best way to communicate. So God in his wisdom allowed that to happen in his word. He taught us through stories. 2 Timothy 3:16, we know that it says this. All scripture, let's say all scripture, all of it from Genesis to Revelation, all of it is given by inspiration of God. No one else. And what? It's profitable, meaning extremely valuable to be useful for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Don't let anyone tell you that certain scriptures are more important than the other. They all work together. They work in harmony, like music notes. It's one song. It flows. It's perfect. You flow with it. God's word, God, he's the author of his word, and he's perfect. So, of course, his word is going to be perfect. Amen? Here are some things I thought about as I was studying again. When we know God's will about a matter, then we begin to trust him according to his will. After we know what it is, then we could trust him. Without God's will, our faith will not work. Our faith is not real faith. If you don't have the word of God, you have nothing at all. We're naked and blind and wretched without God's word and without God. Even if you're rich with money and all that, you're still naked and blind. Amen? God's promises are in God's word. Read your Bible slowly. We are always in a hurry. I'm encouraging. Read slowly, attentively, and repeatedly. The word is God's heart's desire. God must promise something before we can talk about his faithfulness. Isn't that true? How can we say God is faithful until he first speaks it? He says, by my stripes you were healed. You hear it, you receive it, and it happens for you. When doctors said no, when education couldn't figure it out, amen? And you read it, and it happens. You say, God, you're faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, amen? Because he promised, and you saw the promise in the word, and you received the promise because you had patience, and you did God's will, and it came. And now you're praising God in the name of Jesus Christ. The more you think about what you read in the Bible, the more familiar you get with his voice. And the more your spirit act upon the word. Your spirit and the word must join. The word and your spirit must marry before you can speak for God. Before you can even minister. This is the year of evangelism. Before you could be an effective minister in Palm Beach County, here, right here at home, your spirit and the word must marry. You have to abide in Jesus so that when the time comes, he will bring back to your remembrance the things that you have heard and learned. Jesus, being a great example for us, said, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only speak what I hear my Father speak, speaking in the flesh for us, letting us know how we need to be in this world, just like him. If the word dominates your mouth, it will dominate your heart. Then it will dominate your conduct and character. By nature, it will change you. Meditation on the word is a visit to God. When we're praying and we're in the word, we're meditating about the narratives, somehow we're translated to that time. Isn't it true? And we start to see things that we never saw before. We smell the pomegranates, and we're in the tabernacle, and we see all the glory of God, and we get so much revelation from meditating on the word. Then God promised we will have good success. Hallelujah. Because we will know God. We will know his ways when we meditate on the word of God. Hallelujah. When we speak the word or scripture during prayer, teaching, and preaching, while being influenced by God's Spirit, it will not be meaningless, destructive, or idle. It will be effective. That's why we see sometimes churches, like the churches out there, aren't really effective, because you can have the Bible and you can read it, but if you don't have the Spirit of God, the Word and the Spirit are one. There's one God. He is the Word. So when we have the Spirit of God and the Scriptures together, then we're effective. But if we don't, then we're religious and destructive. And we'll destroy lives more than save lives if we preach the Word of God inaccurately or not according to God's will. That sounds crazy, but it's true. It happens every day. Praise the Lord. Right? Thank God that we're in the church, that we're not only filled with God, but we have His Word also. We're balanced. Praise the Lord. We're like an eagle with two wings, and we're able to flap and soar to the heights, to the third heavens, in the name of Jesus. Balance is important. Express the desire to be filled with the Spirit of Jesus, so we will be able to not only understand Scripture, but proclaim it through the authority of the author. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He wrote the story and put us in it. And whenever we follow His will, follow His storyline, His narrative in our lives, there's authority and power. Great things will be accomplished in this church as we continue to grow in the knowledge, the grace and knowledge of God. I thank God for His grace, because His grace teaches me to deny. His grace gives me the ability to walk as He walked. His grace is something that I don't deserve, but I receive it by faith. And I thank God for His grace in Jesus' name. Time is going by so fast. Oh, my Lord. There's 9 benefits of Scripture that I want to get into. 9 benefits of Scripture. There's more benefits, of course. But I pulled out 9. 9 benefits. And 9 for no reason. Just 9 came out. There's no reason for 9. Amen. Number 1. Very important. Scripture reveals who God is. That's very important. I'm going to explain that more in a minute. I feel I need to explain that more. In Luke 24:27, Jesus, God speaking Himself, He says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Well, He's not speaking here, but it's explaining what's going on. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, the Old Testament, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things that He can give them. It don't say that, right? Not what He will give them, not what His hands have, but He expounded unto them in all Scriptures the things concerning what? Himself. You know why it's so important to know God? God told Abraham, the blessing that spoke over you is not your reward. It's not the things that I'm able to give you. He said, Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. When we go to the Scriptures to seek Jesus, to investigate who God is, the rewards are byproducts of knowing Him, byproducts of being in His presence. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty, there's joy. All these things are a byproduct, these things that we need of knowing Him. In Luke 24, verse 44, and He said unto them, now He's speaking, He said, and these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are what? Written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. The whole Bible is about Jesus. And I noticed that, like, in my life, I have a privilege to speak to people who don't really understand who God is. people who think that there's three and all these different theologies that are not in the Word of God. But guess what? I came to find out that a lot of them didn't know what they were talking about. And not to put them down, but if you challenge them and says, have you ever read the Bible about God? Have you ever studied about God? Have you ever investigated what God said about himself? A lot of times, no. A lot of times they study to preach about different topics or study, you know, just what God can do, the promises, but never really investigate who God is. It happened to me. I came to this church. My dad got saved here. I came to investigate what was going on, why he's so different. And he ended up, a matter of fact, here's a commercial real quick. Wednesday before church, Brother Vieira has a class for new converts. Very powerful. I went to that class. I went there with a jacket on and do-rag and fitted cap. And I went in there, and Brother Vieira was in the Word. And I was said, no, that's not true. God is three persons. He's not one person. He's three. Brother Vieira was so patient. He had the key. He said, Travis, go home and search the scriptures. Get all your verses together about who God is. And come back and next week, Wednesday, before church, we'll discuss it. I said, no problem. I'm going to come back and prove you wrong and get my dad out of here. So I went home, and for the first time, raised in church, kind of, but for the first time, I searched scriptures looking for God. Not just to be, for him. And I could not challenge. God never said he was three persons. I can't make it up. I was looking, and as I was looking, I was getting upset, and I was like, wait, hold on. But at the same time, I was rejoicing. Because I said, God, I did not know. But it makes it so much easier to pray now. Nobody know that Jesus, you are the one. You are the anointed one. You are my Father. Your spirit, I can have it. It made life so much simpler. I came back, and the story is just now I'm here teaching in Jesus' name. Years later, evangelism works. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. In John chapter 5, verse 39, it says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. It's more than just life. He is life. In him is a life, the light and life of men. The word of God testify about our King, our Jesus, our Father. It's about him, everything. When you find him, you find life. When you find him, you find joy. When you find him, you find purpose and your identity. That's why we come on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, because we know him. We know in whom we believe. And we come to, with all of us here, just to be in his presence and to hear the words of life. Number two, the word of God produces faith. I'm going to go a little faster. Romans 10:17 says this, so then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. You can only hear by the word. You have to catch that. We know the first part, that faith come by hearing. But it says, and hearing how? By the word of God. By reading and meditation, hearing comes. Hearing is an attitude. It's when you bow your ears, per se, or your spirit to the word, and you're intently listening. Now you're hearing, because now you have expectation. You're not just reading the word of God to meet a quota. You actually need answers now, right? You need direction and instruction. So now you're bowing your ear. Then hearing comes. And when hearing comes, faith comes. If you need faith today, if you say to yourself, Brother Travis, I don't have faith. I can't muster up faith. It doesn't come by human effort. It comes by hearing. It comes by positioning yourself in the word and saying, God, I'm not moving until I hear. And you read until something grabs a hold of you. And when it grabs you, faith comes. And then you move on that word. And then God's promises are manifest in your life. That's how it works. Praise the Lord. The word of God is spiritual nourishment. That's number three. It's milk. It's a table full of the delicacies. First is milk. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says this, as newborn babies, as new converts, right, desire the sincere milk of the word. Desire it, that ye may grow thereby. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. He's saying desire it. I know that you're not sure what to do next. Okay, here it is. Desire the spiritual milk of the word so that you may grow. It's going to benefit you as a new convert, as one that has received Christ. Your next step is to be in the word of God, to get into the word of God, the sincere milk of the word. It's also bread. In Matthew 4:4, he says, but he answered and said to Satan, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. It's solid food. In Hebrews 5:12 and 14 through 14, it says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. 20 years, 30 years, a new convert still, right? That's not God's will for us. And I know that now we're encouraged. We're going to go forward in the word of God. We're going to read the word more. Praise God. But 14 says this, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, mature. Even those, I love this verse, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What is he saying there? Here it is. Here's an illustration of that. You have an issue in your life. You passed repentance and baptism and you receive his spirit. Now you want to live life according to his word. He's saying that we need to practice now. To be mature, we need to go to God's word for the answers to life. You come to a crossroad, the valley of decisions, right? What do you do now as a mature Christian? You go to the word of God to find out what God has to say about that issue or situation. And then you apply the word. And the more you do that, the more you go to God's word for counsel, and the more you apply it in your everyday life, is the more you're exercising your senses to discern good and evil. I believe that one of the hardest things for a Christian to do is to discern good and righteous. Because some things could be a good decision, but it's not God's will for your life. So that comes by exercising and by training yourself in the word of God, meditating on the word, allowing God to guide you. Then you're able to discern now good and evil. Amen? Amen. The word of God gives mental illumination. We see that in Psalms 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. If you are simple today and you need understanding, wisdom is calling. God is calling, saying, come if you're simple and I will give you wisdom. It comes through the scriptures of God. Education is not light, by the way. I have to say that. You could be the smartest person in the world, go to the greatest universities that man can offer and still be in darkness. If a room is dark, only one thing can allow you to see. Not the wind, not how much you speak, but light. So this morning, if you're in darkness about a situation, you're ignorant about something in life, you need light. We need light. And light comes when God's word enters our hearts. Then we go from simple to understanding. He said, with all you're getting, get understanding. With all your reading, all your preaching, all these things you're doing, get understanding. Number five, I'm closing soon because of the time. But this is so important. I thought about us here. The word of God gives physical healing. Physical healing. I'm gonna show you in the word. The word in my hand gives us physical healing. Healing to your body. Isn't that something? Yes, I'm gonna show you Psalms 107, 17 and through 20. It says this: fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They can't eat. They're terminally sick. And they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. God is merciful, and he saveth them out of their distress. How? Verse 20. He sent his word and what? Heal them and deliver them. God saves, heals, and delivers through his word. That's why we need more than just great demonstration of power. We need to be a Moses declaring the word of God. Let my people go. Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Declare the word God has given us to redeem the world. But even better, it's God's medicine bottle. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22, it says this: my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Hallelujah. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them. And here it is: and health to all their flesh. If anyone here is going under any type of physical ailment, cancer, diabetes, whatever it may be, just like how you take medication at a certain time, I want to give you some wisdom this morning for all of us. I've done this already. I try not to preach anything that I haven't tested myself. I tested it and it worked. Okay? Just like how you take medicine at a certain time, go to God's word every day and you take your medicine. I'm not saying don't do it, but you take your medicine, but also take the word of God as if it was medicine. Take it. Try God. Prove him. God is true. Remember, he first gives us promises, and then when he blesses us, we can say he's faithful. And God does want that testimony from you and from me that he's faithful. So he will demonstrate his faithfulness. Can we all stand, please? We're going to close. God is good. He gives us victory over sin in his word, Psalms 119. Victory over Satan. He cleanses us. God is so good. And also, the word of God is a mirror. The word of God reveals who you are. The word of God reveals who you can be. I am infinitely valuable in the sight of God because God bought me with the most valuable thing in the universe, his blood. Praise the Lord. Let's pray and close. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God, we honor your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord God, we pray for anyone here who is struggling to understand your word. God, we know by scripture that you are able to open up our understanding of the scriptures so we may know you, Lord, and we may follow you and be wise in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, for everyone here who has heard your word, that you will encourage us, Lord Jesus, to read our Bibles every day slowly, attentively, Lord God, and repeatedly. We thank you for this privilege to be your children and your disciples. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Be blessed, church. I love you guys. We have a quick break. Our main service starts at 11 o'clock, 10 minutes. So, you know, say hi, hug. God is good. Amen.